Have you ever done something that you weren't supposed to? No, I don't mean something illegal, but something smaller. Some sort of convention that you weren't supposed to trespass, but you accidentally did. I remember once at my grandmother's house when I was young, I forgot to put my napkin on my lap at dinner. And then I put my elbows on the table. And then I chewed with my mouth open. Jedediah, my grandmother snapped in her militant diction, you will observe the conventions of polite society at this table. It was apparently quite important to my grandmother that I learn these rules. In today's gospel, Jesus is busy teaching again, this time in the synagogue. He is speaking on the rules and conventions that govern the Jewish relationship with God, that is, the Torah. In the midst of his lecturing to the crowds, he sees this woman, a woman who cannot stand up straight, who has been bound for 18 years in body and in spirit. And immediately upon seeing her, Jesus is compelled to act. He is moved in heart and in mind to free her, no matter the consequences. But of course, this violates one interpretation of Torah, which Jesus has just been lecturing on. The synagogue leader, not wanting to offend the great teacher who is in their midst, accuses not Jesus, but the woman of breaking the Sabbath. But that's not all. She has not just broken the Sabbath, but also the convention that men and women must not have contact with each other unless they are married. And that women must not be in the men's part of the synagogue. So she has transgressed not once, but three times in the mind of this religious leader. And the religious leader, though he doesn't mention it, is surely thinking of all three of these trespasses. It's unconscionable to this religious leader. The conventions are there to give structure, familiarity, and a certain clarity to the lives of his people. And to transgress them, for even one person to transgress them, is to seem to let chaos reign rather than God's divine order. Like my grandmother and the leader of the synagogue, we all have certain ideas and conventions, certain rules that we like to have followed, even here in church. There are people, some of you here, and you know who you are, who sit in the same place Sunday by Sunday, every Sunday. There was a woman like this in the first parish that I visited in New York City when I moved there in 2006. I got to this church kind of early because I wasn't sure what kind of church it was, whether it was a church that got to the service way early or a church that got to the service a little bit late. So I got there early and sat down in a pew toward the back, thinking, oh, no one will mind if I sit here. And about 5 minutes before the service, I heard, behind me. I turned to see an older woman standing just to my left as I was sitting on the epistle side. And I looked at her and smiled and said, can I help you? You're sitting in my pew. So I slid over. Not one space, but like a good three or four spaces, giving her ample room in her pew so that we could share it. And she just looked at me. And so I slid over to the other end of the pew, giving us a good 4 to 5 feet of space. And she just looked at me. And so finally I got up and went to the row behind, and she finally sat down. We cling to our conventions, to the order that we try to set to the world, because the rules and the order give us just that, order, stability, and a sense that there is some logic behind the universe. And there is. God has created this world, and in this world he has set a great sort of order. He has given it shape, logic, structure. The problem is that we can't see all of it, even though we think we can know it. Our vision is just too small to be able to apprehend everything that falls within God's order, because we cannot ourselves know the whole mind of God. Jesus, in today's gospel, is seeing that whole picture. He knows the whole mind of God and what he has come to do in that order. He has come to free creation, to free us all from the bondage of sin and death. And he will not rest until that has been accomplished. This woman in today's gospel in the synagogue is just a foreshadowing, a foretaste of the freedom that Jesus has come to effect. Jesus has come for all of us, for all of creation, no matter who we are. Jesus has come to offer us freedom, and anything that interferes with this objective is not in keeping with the big picture of God's plan to bring about a new, transformed, renewed creation. The rules, the order, the structure, Sabbath, and all of that is only important in that it advances this cause, the cause of renewing our relationship with God and bringing us into his kingdom. There's been a lot of traffic around the church this week as freshmen have been moving in to the South 40 at Wash U. And it's reminded me of something that my father said to me right before I started college. As I was putting the last of my things into my car and getting ready to drive across town to move into my dorm room, my father came out to talk to me. "You're lucky," he said. "Going to college is great. It's great because, in a way, you are being freed. You are now freed of all of the many of the obligations and responsibilities that had tied you down before. You are free to start something brand new, and that gives you choice. You can choose to act as you always have, act as if nothing has changed, or you can live in an entirely new way, a renewed way, one that was not available to you before. You've been given a new start. Now it's up to you. What are you going to do with it?" Yesterday in the afternoon, we had a baptism here in the church. In that sacrament, one young girl received a new start. It was now up to her along with her parents. She was moved, as the prayer book says, through the grave and gate of death, from slavery to sin, into new and lasting freedom. A new life beyond the grasp of death. Jesus asks those gathered around him, "Ought not this woman be unbound?" And ought not she be given new life? This hope is the hope and promise that we have as Christians. New life. A new life full of grace. We have been set free. We are unbound. Free to live a new life. Amen.